What's up, fam? Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers podcast, episode 181, I believe. It's me, Johnny Samsonite, recording on 10/27. It's a Friday, another dreary day here in Minnesota. And joining me today is none other than Stellar Smalls. Angie, how are you?
Superb.
Yeah?
How's it going?
Oh, fine. You know. Been playing a lot of that there Spider-Man, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. But first, we have the lowdown to get into. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can hit us up at Twitter, on Twitter, or X, whatever it is, at MN Gamers Podcast. You can email us, podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com. Sign up for our newsletter, mngamers.substack.com. There's older issues there that you can read. You can leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 507-291-2991. You can check out some of the video on demand when we have them on Mostly Normal Gamers YouTube channel. Just search Mostly Normal Gamers on YouTube and you'll find it there. And then you can watch us live when we do that. Today is not one of those days. We're having technical difficulties, but we're at twitch.tv/mostlynormalgamers. And then, yeah, I think that's everything for the housekeeping kind of stuff. I guess I've been playing a lot, Angie, because I got that Asus. You know the Asus, the computers? Asus, yeah. Right? Did you hear? James and I were talking about this. Maybe Chris and I. Anyway, how would you pronounce A-S-U-S?
Asus?
Yeah, it's Asus.
Asus?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
I don't mind either, to be honest.
Oh, man.
It's a little funky, but, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate your ability to be adaptable. I think it's terrible, and I refuse to jump on board.
Wait, but anyway. Asus, like if you would think of double O?
Yeah. It's all weird. I think it's like Asus or Asus or something like that. Anyway, that U is like a long O, and it doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, that's been opening up my gaming time a lot because I can now sit on the couch next to my kiddo and play something, you know, that's not necessarily on my Switch. It's also kind of let me tap in a little bit more to the Xbox Game Pass library, which is significant. The reason I got the Asus Rogue ROG Ally. It's all sorts of weird too, because I want to call it the Rogue Ally, but it's ROG, which is an acronym for Republic of Gamers. So it's probably ROG, but that sounds lame. Asus ROG Ally? That's all bad.
Sounds dirty.
Asus Rogue Ally sounds way cooler to me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they didn't think that one through. They didn't ask me. Whatever. It's, you know, it's kind of opened up because the reason I got that instead of the Steam Deck was because I heard it was easier to play non-Steam games on this device. Like, it was a lot easier to, for instance, get the PlayStation Portal, like PlayStation Portal, basically, Epic, the Game Pass stuff. So anyway, I've had a lot of opportunity to play Game Pass games. So I played Cocoon. Which, have you heard of that one?
I was looking at Game Pass games as well, and I did see that one, and I found it interesting, but it did not download such.
Yeah. Did you play Inside or Limbo?
No.
Okay. And I can't remember if the last, because James and I recorded a week ago or so, I can't remember if I talked about it on that episode. I think I had been playing it, but I don't know if I finished it. Anyway, finished it. It's from the people who made Inside and Limbo. It's not necessarily like either one of those games in any aspect other than the fact that it does have some, or it is like a puzzle game. And okay. Limbo and Inside have definite like puzzle elements to them. So you basically have these spheres, and each sphere is a world. But the way they interrelate with one another is how you solve the puzzles. So you can like carry one sphere into the other sphere, and each sphere imparts like some power to your character, who is this little like bug kind of thing. Buggish, anthropomorphized bug, basically. And
a human bug?
Yeah, kind of. It is. Like, if you look it up, I mean, it's a humanized bug, really.
Kind
of
like
Man-Bat? Sure, if that helps you. Anyway, you can, like the green one, you can raise and lower these little gaseous-looking things that turn into pillars if you hit the action button on them. So each orb imparts some power, but then you have to, like, sometimes carry the green orb inside the orange one to solve a puzzle, but then the orange one, then you don't have the orange orb power because you're inside the orange world. So if you need the power that you get from the orange orb, you have to figure out how to get to the, like, get the orange orb where you need it. Like, mm-hmm. It's very layered, but fantastic. And I'm not very good at puzzle games, so I usually would, if I got frustrated with the puzzle after like 3 to 5 minutes, I would usually just look it up just to kind of like keep my momentum.
Yeah.
So I did finish it, and I thought it was fantastic. It's a beautiful game. The soundtrack is amazing.
Oh, is it? Because I thought about doing it, downloading the game, but I haven't. So I might do that.
I would recommend it because you have an X, don't you?
I do.
Nice. Yeah, I played it on the, well, I played part of it on the S, and then I played it on the Ally. The majority of it, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I would highly recommend at least giving it a shot to see if you're into it. It's so cool looking and so fun to play. With it's very minimalistic in that there's like one power button or one action button.
Okay.
And that's basically it. Like, you move around and you hit A, which sounds super simplistic, but the things that you can do with those inputs is pretty amazing with these different orbs that you find, and how you can layer them together within worlds to kind of solve things. It's pretty fascinating. I think it's a fantastic puzzle game if you like puzzle games.
I do.
I would highly recommend it, at least giving it a shot. And it's, like I said, it's beautiful. So especially with the X, I'm sure it would be worth giving it a go. The reason I think some of these things, I don't know if I've talked about on the podcast or not, because I actually met Chris in person for the first time since, like, I've met him since he's been on this podcast. Because I was in Madison for
work.
When
was that? A couple weekends ago?
Yeah, it was like, or maybe even last week. Last Wednesday, I think it was.
That's so cool.
I know, right? He's tall. Who knew? I mean, I kind of figured he was kind of tall, but he's taller than me. And I'm like 6'1". He's like 6'2".
Well, you know, when we're recording, it's hard to tell.
Right. Yeah. I've met you before, and you're like 7'1". I never saw that coming.
You never would have known.
No. Mm-mm. But anyway, Chris and I had a delightful dinner at this Indian restaurant in Madison. And so then we ended up talking games and life and chatted for a while. And
good.
Shockingly, he's a very pleasant individual. In person as he is virtually.
I wouldn't doubt that.
So I apologize if I don't think I talked about this on the podcast before. I think I just talked about it to Chris, but who knows? and then what came us? What else? Oh, Spider-Man 2.
Oh, I need to hear about this. I've been hearing amazing things about it.
It's really good.
Tell me your thoughts, yeah?
So you haven't played any of them, right?
No, well, a little bit of one of them, and I honestly don't even remember which one it was, but I just couldn't get the hang of, it's stupid because it's Spider-Man, I couldn't get the hang of the web feature.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't know why or how, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think it takes a little while to build on to the different controls, but once you get a hang of it, it's pretty... It becomes intuitive after a while, but I can understand where there's like a little bit of a curve there where you might have had some issues. Because even now, I'm probably, I don't know, 20 to 30 hours into the game, and I still have times where I'm like meaning to swing between buildings and somehow end up running on the street or something like that.
Well, I think it was on the PlayStation as well, and so obviously don't play that as often.
Yeah.
So it was little funky.
Right. But, you're like, what is this R2 business? I need right bumper, right trigger talk.
I need it. So is Venom in the game?
Not yet, but I mean...
You haven't seen him yet. I didn't know if you knew if he was in there or not. I was just curious. I don't know either.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a spoiler either, because I saw somebody bought the collector's edition and there's Venom like tangling up with Miles Morales and Peter Parker as mm-hmm. both as Spider-Man's men on the collector's edition, one of those like figurines, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing I will get there, but thus far, did you ever see Spider-Man 3 with James Franco and who played Spider-Man like in the early 2000s, mid 2000s? Oh man, it's gonna bug the crap out of me. I'll look it up, but it reminds me so far a lot of that movie where Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 3, Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, Tobey Maguire. Thank you. Light spoilers. But basically, Peter Parker ends up getting that suit from his friend Harry.
Okay.
This is before Harry kind of starts to get some of the powers, and then Peter Parker ends up getting the suit. I won't disclose why or how. So then Peter Parker has the powers, but it's much like in Spider-Man 3, it's kind of like changing his personality. Like he's kind of becoming an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And then it's cool to be able to switch between Spider-Man Miles Morales and Spider-Man Peter Parker. So that part's cool. And the upgrade trees are like, they each have their distinctive powers. Spider-Man, because he has the symbiote suit or eventually gets the symbiote suit. And then Miles Morales has like his electrical powers from that game that came out a couple years ago or whatever. And then they have shared powers as well. And it's a lot, it's very similar. One of the biggest changes from a like transportational standpoint is that you can, you have like spider wings. So it's basically like one of those wingsuits, you know, where people like, skydive with them.
Oh, you're like a flying squirrel type of situation.
Yes, exactly like that. Yes, well said. Because you're seriously like just like that. So, and that's okay. Cool because there's like these little wind tunnels that you can get into that help carry you about. And that kind of takes away a little bit of probably where some of your frustration was and mine as well, as like you were trying to swing in between. But then if there's nothing for your web to land on, then you will just like not swing. You just land on the ground and then you have to find a way to get back up in the air.
Right.
So it takes away a lot of that.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. There's tons of different mini games and side missions. Like the side missions entail their own like mini games where you're like solving a molecule. You like find a puddle of I don't know, something, and you try have to deconstruct basically the chemical structure of it. So it's stuff similar to the first game, just kind of a horse of a different color, if you will, like very similar, but just different. And then it makes good use of the triggers, the R2, L2, like the adaptive trigger or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, that they have that kind of resistance to them. Some of the puzzles make use of that. And then the mini games, like you end up going to Coney Island and there's some cool stuff there.
Ooh.
And also some lame stuff, like you can raise your arms and swing back and forth while you're on the roller coaster, which is not that cool.
It's the little things, I guess.
Yeah. But then you can play some of the other games that you would expect at like a carnival.
But within the video game.
Yes, exactly. The another thing is like the original Spider-Man game got some pushback with the MJ missions, like because they were stealthy and she wasn't, if I remember correctly, it was because she couldn't do anything. Like all she could do was sneak around. And in this one, she can sneak around, but she has not necessarily abilities, but she does have, let's say, weapons, non-lethal weapons that she can use to kind of help her along her way, which is cool.
Completely, you know, defenseless.
Yeah, so it's like, I feel like in the old one, or in the last one, you, if she got captured or seen during her thing, like, you were just done. Whereas this, like, you at least have some way of an out if you get spotted.
Yeah.
There's a large emphasis, I guess, on Harlem, where Miles Morales is from. And there's a side mission where you are, like, helping with the Music History Museum that came up in that area. And then when the museum's, like, up and running, you can go around and learn about the historical aspects of the musical artists from that area in the early to mid-1900s, which is really cool. And then you can play as Haley, as, like, Haley is, like, Miles Morales's, like, kind of girlfriend. She's, like, not his girlfriend because he hasn't asked her out yet, but he's kind of... She's kind of his girlfriend, but she's deaf. Is he shy? Huh?
Is he shy?
Apparently, man. I don't know what his problem is. Well, the thing, the premise of this whole game, basically, and I think this is like a long, I mean, they cover this in Batman, like, a lot too, like, an ability to, like, live a personal life outside of being Spider-Man, like, because people always need help, you know? If you, all you do is help people, then that's all you're going to do, because people always need help. So how can you balance, like, having a personal life? Because Miles Morales is, like, trying to write his college essay and trying to find time to, like, hang out with this girl so he can, like, build up the courage to ask her out or whatever. And it's, he's constantly called away from these things to, like, help, either help Peter Parker or go help somebody else. You know what I mean? But, so that, I would say that's, like, the overarching theme of the game thus far. But the thing about his, like, love interest, Haley, is that she's deaf. So when you play as a mission with her, and I'm guessing there's probably more, but she's also, like, a street artist, like a graffiti artist.
Oh, and that's cool. Okay.
You play as her. So I usually wear headphones when I play. And so since she's deaf, she has cochlear implants, but she's, I mean, cochlear implants, from my understanding, don't necessarily, like, cure deafness. They just help. So you can, it kind of, like, is like you're living in the shoes of a deaf person for a little bit. The sounds are, like, more muffled. Obviously, you can't hear what people are saying to you, or if something comes up behind you, you can't see it.
Yeah.
Or you don't hear it, which is, I don't know, the immersion there from a gameplay standpoint, I thought was pretty cool. And it makes you think about that kind of stuff that you wouldn't maybe normally think of. And then other than that, I would say it's very, they kind of have it down to a science with these Spider-Man games now. Like, and this isn't a bad thing, but I could see where if they kept at the same formula for a while, it would get kind of old, because it's becoming a lot like Assassin's Creed games, where it's, they're kind of formulaic, you know what I mean? Like, you know what's going to happen. It's like this, you pull up the mini map and it shows you all your little different dots of things that you can go do. Insomniac does a great job, in my opinion, of, like, making even side missions and main missions seem very cinematic and immersive. So it's not like it's paint by numbers really yet. And I don't mean that to sound, like, insulting. I could just see where if they kept making these games, you know what I mean? After a while, you'd just be like, well, this kind of gets old. But that said, I should look. I can't remember how to look on PlayStation and see how much I've been playing. But I'm, like, not at all tired of it. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah, I've played 18 hours, it says, so.
Like, so then how many hours in a row have you played it? Like, 2 hours, 3 hours? I suppose it might be a little bit more difficult with the kiddo.
Yeah. Well, I work from home and he's at school, you know, so sometimes my daily routine is, like, getting him on the bus and then playing for like an hour before I start working usually.
Yeah.
If I can. So that's actually been kind of nice. And I usually, I don't know, I think it's maybe my ADD or something, but like I get like maybe an hour or two out of doing really anything. And then I'm like, okay, I got to do something else. Like, I don't know what my problem is, but, yeah. So that's usually, I just been playing it. And then after he goes to bed, I'll usually get another hour in. And, but like today, I'm probably going to pound it pretty good, this evening, afternoon. And then you got any questions about Spider-Man 2 other than what I've already disclosed?
Not necessarily questions, but I did read that you can play as Venom at some point.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
I wonder what that'll be like, because you get a lot of those powers, you know, as Spider-Man. And I don't, I didn't like the third Spider-Man movie. For the reason, like, I just don't like that he becomes a dick. And I'm getting to the point in the game where that's pretty prevalent, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's pretty obvious that the symbiote suit is doing something, like, not good to his personality. So, I don't know. It's still a super fun game, and I'm sure it'll make me cry in one way, shape, or form. That's the other thing I'm not really looking forward to. You know how I feel about feeling feelings, Angela. It's not my favorite.
Nobody likes feeling feelings.
Who does? Overrated. And then lastly, I think I've been playing Plague Tale Requiem. Did you ever play Plague Tale Innocence?
I did a, a demo, and there was so much loss in that demo, and like I think like a dog died too. I don't know. I was like very sad. I was like, I don't know if I can play this game. So I didn't end up like getting the game to play it, but I did the demo, and it was like it hit me in the feels, and I didn't want to feel feelings.
Yeah, this I finished that one, and I had the same kind of feeling from it. Like you described it well. Like it does have some things in it that make you just kind of squirmy. And like this already had some of those kind of in the opening couple hours. I'm not that far into it. I'll most likely finish it because I did like the first one, and I kind of like, it's not terribly action like oriented. Like you're not, it's kind of like in between Spider-Man and like Cocoon. Like Cocoon has like you move around and you hit A. Those are the things that you do. Whereas in Spider-Man has like hit fucking circle to dodge this, but you can't use circle to dodge this one. You have to use L1 to dodge this one or to, and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? There's like so many different inputs that you have to remember. And Plague Tale Requiem is definitely in between there where it's like still an action game. Action adventure game, but it's definitely more like narrative focused, and the actions that you partake in are a little bit more remedial from like a gameplay standpoint, so that you don't like, so that you're still focused on the story. So it makes it easier for, from my standpoint of, to kind of see it through, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that ally, man, I'm telling you, like, It's a game changer, Andy, because like there's nothing to play on my Switch, if there's nothing to play on my Switch, like I don't want to, when my son's upstairs, like watching tunes, or, you know, he's been playing Minecraft on his Switch. Like I don't want to be downstairs, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'd rather be on sitting there next to him. So that's why this kind of really helps a lot in that regard. Yeah. And there's Mario Wonder on Switch, but I don't know. I'm not excited about it. Anyway, I've been talking for a while, and I think that's about all I have. How about you?
Well, I still haven't finished Tears of the Kingdom. I'm drawing it out for what reason, I have no idea why. I'm like, what else can I do? And I'm doing these little things like beating all the Colosseums in the depths and doing other miscellaneous things that don't even really matter. But I decided I'm going to just get all my stuff ready and I'm going to just go defeat Ganon. Cause I know I can. I'm strong enough. I have all the things. I found
I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. Yes. Gosh dang it, people.
I found every single shrine, though, and I got this really cool mask that turns you into Raru, basically.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so cool.
I didn't read what it did, but I did see that in there.
Oh, it's pretty sweet.
That is badass. How many hours you got on that bad boy?
I don't even... A lot. Like, too many, because I basically literally just... doing everything but beating the game. Just meaningless stuff.
But it's so much fun and it's so hard.
I mean, still fun. Yeah. It is still fun for me. But like at this point I'm kind of like, I should just beat the game because I still want to beat this other game and then the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
But
that's why and you and Chris were on a show like earlier this year talking about how once you beat a game, like, you do lose that momentum, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I could beat the game and I can go back if I ever wanted to, but if I'm just going to go back, I'm just going to restart the game and do it over again, but I'd want to give myself some time away from all that, you know what I mean, after I beat it.
Yeah.
But, so that's why I downloaded, I went on the Game Pass as well, and looked at what they had recently come out with, and there's this game that caught my eye, besides the Cocoon one, that you mentioned earlier. It's called, and you might know this, Like a Dragon Ishin.
Oh, yeah.
It so looks like awesome.
Did you play any of the Yakuza games?
No.
So it's from the same people who make Yakuza, and I think it's in the same, like, storyline, but the Yakuza games were action adventure games. And this is turn-based, and Like a Dragon just came out a few years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe. So this is a second installment of that. I don't know if it's the same character or what, but apparently the first one was really good. But it's turn-based, I think.
Yeah, well, so like you play this guy. I'm probably going to butcher the name. Is it Kayo? Kayo?
Okay.
K-Y-O. Anyway, his like father dies and he's framed for the murder. So he has to like clear his name and figure out who the real killer is. And he has to like end the samurai era. And it's crazy. So I want to play that really badly. It just looked really, really cool. And the other one I downloaded and I haven't played yet, but I'm excited to try is Solar Ash.
Oh yeah.
I haven't haven't played it, but it looked the look of it was captivating for me.
Yeah. I agree. It's from I think the same folks that did Hyper Light Drifter.
Yeah.
And I never
finished
that game. I just played it a little bit. I don't remember why. But I added that to my want to play someday list. Yet another reason I got that ally thing is I'm like, maybe now I can actually take care of some of the games in my backlog. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you interested in Mario Wonder at all? Or are you a 2D Mario fan?
Mario Wonder. I don't know what that is.
Oh, Angie. Where have you been?
Sneaking around the depths of the Hyrule place, apparently.
It's the newest 2D Mario
game.
Where you... I don't know. Got really good reviews. I don't know how you feel about 2D Mario games. I played a bit of the Mario Wii U Deluxe or whatever that they.
Yeah, is it kind of like that?
Yeah, basically. But it's
I have that too, and I liked it.
You have other powers. You can turn into an elephant in this one. I'll undoubtedly buy it. Like, there's no doubt about it that I'll probably get it and play it.
Okay.
And cool. Maybe like it, but I just don't really.
Oh, elephant? Weird.
Yeah.
It's a mustache. He has a mustache.
He does.
It's an elephant.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Doesn't lose that stash.
Right.
Interesting. No, I didn't even hear about this. I've been like in the darkness apparently. So
hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I am interested. So this is coming out when? When is this coming out?
It just came out.
Like, oh, it just came out.
Maybe like a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
I know James and I were debating which one to play for Spider-Man, or it wasn't really much of a choice for me. Like
Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I don't really love the 2D Mario games. Even if, like, you go back to, like, quote-unquote classics, and James and I were kind of talking about this, like, do you have a 2D Mario game that you love? Like, Super Mario Brothers 2 that came out in the United States and Super Mario Brothers 3, like, I like them because they're near and dear to my heart, and I didn't really have much else to play back then, but I don't think I need to go out of my way to be playing them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, all of the 1, 2, and 3, I played them a lot when I was younger because, you know, that's just what we had, but I'll play the mini NES and the SNES and play those games just for fun, just because I like going back for nostalgia purposes. Just like, I'm a nostalgia gamer too. I ordered a cord for the video feed, so now I hooked up my N64 last night and I played some old N64 games. It was so choppy and I love it so much.
Did you see this analog 4K N64 that I posted in the news?
I did, and I'm betting it's going to be like $250 ish.
Yeah,
when it comes out.
Because I bought, well, James and I got the analog pocket, which is
the Game Boy kind of thing.
Yeah, it's right? Phenomenal. Like, that is probably one of the best gaming purchases I've made in my lifetime. And then I impulse bought the Super Nintendo version. And awesome. Because then you can go buy Nintendo games and
play
them in like HD, basically, like, or, you know, it fills up the whole screen. It's fascinating. And yeah. I'm not big on, I don't really miss or have a ton of nostalgia for the first generation of like 3D gaming. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved like Rogue Squadron and Mario and obviously Ocarina of Time and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't feel like going back and playing them. Like, I want them to be remade or something like that. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you play?
I played a few different ones. Well, a couple different ones. So, because I have like 7 or 8 games or something. I tried Mario Party first, and then it shut down on me, and I just got pissed because you have to go through the how many players and what do you want them for, like easy, hard, or not, whatever. I just didn't want to do all that business again, so I took that out after it went to crap, and then I just put in Mario 64 and played that for a while, and then 007 GoldenEye.
Nice.
Did that one.
And they all, I can't speak highly enough of the analog
I can't wait till that one comes out, the 64 version of it, because then, you know, maybe I can play these games without looking super choppy or something like that, but.
Yeah. Well, and how do you hook it up to a TV with now? Like, do you have the composite cables or whatever?
So I looked this up. You can do, or you can buy a, where it's like, it's a converter basically where it just switches it to an HDMI if you wanted to. But I got the old school version where it just plugs into the back of the 64 and the, you know, the video and audio plugs in to the back of the TV.
Yeah. And then how did it, so
it sounded great.
Did it?
Yeah, yeah.
But the video probably looked like
that. The video looked like any 64 game, you know, like you just bought the thing and you're playing it, right? Like back in the day.
Yeah.
So it didn't make anything better, didn't make anything worse. It was just, you know, how it was made to be played. That made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can buy things that make that, like convert it to an HDMI or something.
Yep. Yeah.
Those cables exist, but I've heard they're not very good.
They're not consistently and expensive, I think. Great. Yeah, they're inexpensive, but that's the thing though, like they're not always going to work for you, and if it does, it works for like a little bit and then it will like short out, and if it does, you run the risk of it shorting the actual 64 itself. It could
potentially. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You just have to be careful with that kind of stuff.
That is ringing a bell now that you say that. Yeah, especially with such an old system that's already kind of probably on its last legs. It's not like you want to go throwing things on there that might put it even more so on its last legs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But so I might bust that a little bit later, but I'm wondering if I think either tonight or tomorrow I might just actually beat Tears of the Kingdom just to get it done with and move on to finishing my other games on the list I've been wanting to actually finish. I have so many games where I'm like at the end points, but I haven't made the actual like finish. I haven't crossed that finish line, so I want to do that.
Like what other ones?
Oh, like Senua's Sacrifice was one of them.
Oh yeah,
that I still haven't finished. I've been wanting to finish that for such a long time.
You and me both on that one because I'm at the like Blood River thing or Blood Lake kind
of. I am there as well, and I just can't for the life of me. It's like I tried so many times. I remember, and I was just getting pissed off, and so I just stopped playing it, and I just haven't gone back to it because it pissed me off so much.
Yeah.
I just need to finish it.
Well, yeah, because that's the, like, if you die too many times, then you have to start all over again.
Exactly,
and it's not exactly, like, I don't know, it's disturbing, kind of.
Yeah, and it's not like I want to start all the way over again. I want to finish it and complete it, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's just,
I don't know why I stopped it. Probably the same reason I stop every other game. Like, I play it, and then something else comes out that, like, the new shiny thing, and I'm like, ooh, new shiny thing. So I go after that instead, you know?
Yeah. Well, especially if there's games that, you know, you've been hearing about and been wanting to play. But Sonic Frontiers, I've been wanting to finish that game. I keep wanting, because that one was actually really cool. I did like that one. I just, you know, Tears of the Kingdom came out, so
yeah. There's that. I forgot you started that.
Yeah, I don't know how far exactly I am into the game, but I feel like I'm fairly far because I'm on the third island or the third area, I think. But see, I don't know if there's the fourth or if that's the last. I have no idea. So I really have to finish these games, get them out of my repertoire. I still haven't even finished, like, the new Halo. I started it, but I wanted to finish and beat, like, Halo 4. Halo 5 Guardians. I don't know. There was one of the Halos I didn't finish. And anyway, I have a list.
Yeah. I never finished Halo either, the new one, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I just deleted it because I don't. Infinite? Yeah. Not because it was bad. I just don't care.
There's just other things, right? There's other things.
Yeah.
Like, have you played the new Assassin's Creed? Speaking of Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. No,
Mirage?
I haven't.
I haven't played it either, but I've heard, no, with no spoilers or anything, that it's like the newer Assassin's Creed. The older Assassin's Creed games where it's way more sneaking around and actually being stealthy versus having all these crazy abilities and like magic basically.
Right.
So some people won't like it for that aspect because it's not like Odyssey or Origins. It's more like the earlier games where it is you're stealth, you have to be stealth like, or, you know, you die.
Right.
They're aggressive in this game, which, and it's a lot smaller scale versus the other ones that, you know, you've been used to in recent light. So that might be actually more intriguing.
Yeah. I don't, to me, that's a selling point because, like,
that's what I'm saying. For a lot of people these days, it might be more intriguing. Like, you don't have to sit there forever with it, but you just do have to be stealthy.
Yeah. I mean, Odyssey was by far my favorite. And then the one after that,
it's good.
What was the one that just came out, like, on the PS5, like when the PS5 launched?
Are you talking about the Valhalla one?
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That one also fantastic, but just like way too big. Like,
it's a lot. Yeah.
Can't.
I was thinking about going back to that game too, because again, I did not finish that game, but it was a good game. There was just so much to do, and it didn't feel like the ones that I was used to, or that I liked so much. Because yeah, Odyssey, I did like Origins a lot, and Odyssey again was I will agree one of my favorites. It's really good, but yeah.
Yeah.
These other ones are. It's just different.
You had also sent me the review for Alan Wake 2. Did you ever play the first one?
So the first one, I believe I mentioned this before, but this was a long time ago. But I attempted to play Alan Wake twice. I started it and I was like, nah, I can't get into it. And then I started again. And I kept going, like, further than where I stopped the last time, and I couldn't continue. I was like, meh. I don't know why.
Yeah, I feel like it would be a hard game to come back to. Like, I played it, and I liked it just fine. I don't know that I'll buy the second one right away. I like Remedy, and I like their storytelling, and there's never a resolution in the... It seems like, which doesn't necessarily bother me. I like the ride. It's fun. And yeah. The other, like, the intricate stuff that they put in there, like, in the first Alan Wake game, there was that radio show. And I every radio that you ran into and you turned it on, and it was the nighttime night talk radio host, and it was just super interesting. And I loved that. And they, like... What's the Control? Control had like the videos of those two puppets. I think that was Control. They just always put this weird stuff in there that I think is super interesting and fun to kind of put yourself into. But I don't know that I need to play it like right away, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I was more into it because it looked like a decent game, but I'm just like, I didn't finish the first one, and I don't know if I wasn't really into that one, so I don't even know if I would even try for the second one.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. The first one you had to play, you had like a flashlight and you shined it on them, and then that like weakened them, and then you shot them. And I wonder if this is like similar mechanics.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a good question. I think I wonder. I'll ask James and see if he's playing it and see what he thinks, because that might help me. I haven't played. Have you played a spooky game yet this year?
No, but I think, I'd have to talk to Chris on this one too, but because last time we talked, he didn't finish Luigi's Mansion, or he was close to it, but I want to finish Luigi's Mansion.
Which one? Three?
The third one, yeah. Yeah, because like, that one's kind of spooky, and it's fun, and I loved that game, actually, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, it's that time where I should actually just bust that out and play it, and I think I might this weekend, because I've been thinking about it, and I'm just going to do it. I'm going to finish it.
It's a good game. I love that one.
I liked it so far.
I let somebody borrow it, and I can't remember who it was, because my son was watching somebody stream it on YouTube, he's like, oh, we should play this. And I was like, okay. So then I went around looking for it, and I can't find it anywhere. So, and it's Nintendo, so you know it's still $60, or you can maybe find it for $40 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time buying a game that I've already paid for once.
No, that's true. I would feel the same way. But, and I mean, it's funny you ask about spooky games, because I found on Kotaku. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, yeah.
They have a list of Halloween sale deals for like darker games on Steam. Let's see here. It's by Zach Zwizen. I feel like that's how you say that.
Uh-huh.
But they have like, so these were the games that are like, spooky games that are on sale. Seven Ways to Die, the original, so the first Alan Wake. They have it on sale for $3.75.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's funny. Batman Arkham Knight, which that one I did, that game I did start, also did not finish. Man, I could just write a book. The Cold Protocol, that one is on sale for $24. So that's that game that's like Dead Space, made by the people that made Dead Space.
Yeah. I had a buddy who played it, and he said it was really hard. Like,
oh, really?
Very survival horror-y, where like he said he ran out of ammo, but he was playing it on hard, I guess.
Well, that makes sense.
He's like a good gamer too. Like, anytime I die a bunch in a game, I'm just like, well, I suck at games. Like, that's not really anything new.
Like, but I'm not gonna try.
Yeah, this guy, this friend, particular friend, like, he's no geek off the street. Like, he knows what he's doing. So when he said it's hard, I'm like, I'm not playing that shit. And it was free on PlayStation Plus this month.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, probably because of spooky season. But
yes, exactly.
Cult of Lamb, Darkest Dungeon, Days Gone, Dead by Daylight, Dead Space Remake, Dredge, Project Zomboid, all like Resident Evil 2, 3, 7, and 4. And Resident Evil Village, yep. Strange Brigade, The Walking Dead, The Telltale Definitive Series, Weird West, and The Quarry.
Yeah.
Get your spooky on.
Yeah. James played Dredge, and he said it's really good. It's also out on Switch. I played the demo, and I might download that game. The other thing, Angie, is like, do you know The Quarry is... I keep wanting to say Unreal Tournament, and that is definitely not right. It starts with Until Dawn. It's from the same developers, I believe, as Until Dawn, and they're doing this series. The Quarry, I think, is outside of the series, but it's from the same makers, same developers of the one that I'm referring to now, but they are like... co-op, that's what I want to play. I want to play like a spooky game online with a friend. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, that would be so much fun. I think that, man, it would be cool if we would have coordinated this month playing a spooky game together. Like, yeah. all four of us.
Because I think, I'm drawing a blank here. What they are called... It's going to bug the crap out of me. But anyway, it's from the same developers as Until Dawn. And then they've come out. They were going to release like 7 games in a certain amount of time. Like within like 3 or 4 years, they're going to release all 7 of these somewhat like episodic games. They're not really episodic because they I don't think they tell the same story.
Okay.
But Dark Pictures Anthology, that's what it is. I knew if I delayed long enough, I would get there. But House of Ashes, Devil in Me are a couple of them. But I believe you can play them either online. Oh, yeah. Man of Medan, if you've heard of that one.
No, I haven't.
Little Hope, House of Ashes, The Devil in Me. Those are the... first 4, I guess, in the series of what's supposed to be 7. So, but I believe all of these, like, you can, it's kind of the same concept. If you're not familiar with Until Dawn, like, you basically have to make decisions very quickly,
yeah,
in order to like try to save your characters or whatnot. And so it's very similar, and that's what I want to play, because then you kind of have like, I get too scared. You know what I mean? If I play a spooky game that's too spooky, even something that's not really, like Alan Wake is not like...
Not super spooky, but no. Like I got spooked on that game when I played it a little bit.
Yeah, I couldn't play, like I was saying earlier, like I have like a attention span of maybe 2 hours. If I'm playing a spooky game, it's usually like 30 minutes to an hour before I'm like, okay, this is causing me like too much anxiety. I got to step out.
Yep.
But well, I feel like
you can realize that though.
Yeah. Before I'm like losing lots of sleep at night.
Too deep in, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it would be cool to play one of those games because I feel like having a like group of people together or even like one other person, you know what I mean? Like to chat with while you're doing this stuff would make it even way more fun. So
I feel like it would be, I think that would be fun. I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's something that somehow we should coordinate.
One of these days. I'm sure there's something on Game Pass. I think we all have Game Pass. And there's got to be something on there that we could do that would be in that
spooky
vein. Yeah. Oh, real quick. Did you play Starfield?
Oh, no. I haven't. I wanted to download it, but I didn't. And the only reason why... Excuse me. The only reason why I did not download it is because somebody I was reading on it downloading the game. It's like 126 gigs.
Holy cow! Is it really?
Yeah. And then plus you have to factor in updates that have happened since it came out, right? So however many more gigs, but that's just a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think I want to load that on my X, even though my X has like a terabyte, but still, I don't think I want to do that. And what I also read on there that some people are thinking or saying the game to them is just too big. Like it's just too much.
Yeah. I would.
And I could see that being a problem.
Yeah. I completely agree. I played it on my Ally and, I freaking played it, or I had to download like a special thing for it too, like a special, you know, it's PC gaming basically. That's the only thing I don't like about this Ally thing is everything's like, oh, you forgot to download this fucking driver or whatever. Everything needs a damn driver, Angie. I don't understand.
I don't either.
But anyway, I had to download this special driver so that it would run correctly. And then I played it for like an hour and I was like, this is stupid. I don't like it. And I knew it was going to be huge. I don't know. James and I talked about it, I think, on the last episode. Like, you can fly the spaceships, but the way that you do things is just not very intuitive. And there's too many things that you can do. It's just not, I don't know. More power to if you like it and want to play it. Like, I dig it, but like, or I can understand that, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go out of my way to play it. It's just overwhelming.
No, I don't think I'm going to either, unless I literally don't have any other games to play.
Doesn't sound like that's a problem for you.
No. I have plenty of games. But it's just, no, that's a big space. And the only other, you know, game that would take up that much space that I would think about downloading that I already have downloaded is the Master Chief Collection. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Right. That's on a different level all of its own.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm not going to do just one game with that. I don't know. I just can't think of doing that.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, hey, how about we do some... We've already talked for almost an hour.
What?
Yeah.
Craziness.
True. I know.
And I mean, looking at Game Pass real quick, there are some spooky games on there that we can, I'm sure...
Yeah, did you see this Maniko's Night Market?
No.
Maniko's I wonder. Market? Yeah.
I have to look that up.
There's this other game called Moonlighter, I think it was, that was really cool. That wasn't spooky. This one looks like it might be spooky, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, if anybody out there listening has any recommendations on what we could play that would... you know, fill our spooky void.
Ideally, Game Pass, or if it's on just one certain console for us to all play. or I guess PC would be fine too, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah. And I feel like I just saw that the one of those games that I was just talking about on Game Pass or PlayStation Plus or something. But maybe I'm losing my mind. I don't know. Anyway, Angie, in the post-apocalyptic game series Fallout, oh, speak of the devil, your primary stats are listed under the acronym SPECIAL. Can you name each stat from that acronym? Oh, man.
Wait, what?
SPECIAL. Series, the game series Fallout. Okay. Your SPECIAL. What do those letters stand for in the acronym?
Oh, I know this because I, when I was playing, when I was playing that game, I wasn't, which one was it? I can't remember. It was one of, it was on Game Pass, so I was able to actually like play the game.
Fallout 3, 4?
No, it was like... I'm losing my mind.
I would never get this. I guess, I mean, it makes sense. You got any guesses what S stands for?
Because it's Fallout... Strength?
Yep.
P. Because you have to... Okay, because you have to update these stats, right?
Yeah.
When you're in the, I'm losing my, what is it called that you're in? You're in the, I keep wanting to say dungeon or cave or something, but it's not right. Endurance is one of them.
Yep.
Intelligence for sure.
Yep.
Charisma, because don't you have to like, you think if you're in this thing with everybody else.
Got four.
Out
of the seven.
Luck?
Yep.
Agility, right? Yep.
Now you're just left with the P.
Perception?
Ooh, dude. I'm impressed. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't think you were gonna get like two of them and you got all of them.
Woof.
Nice work.
I just remember playing that. I need to find this game now. Like what game it was, because I remember updating these specific things and I remember them talking about it.
Was it one of the original Fallout games or?
No, it was like a vault, Fallout Shelter.
Oh, yeah, the mobile game.
Golly, I could not think of it for the life of me. Fudge.
Okay, you ready for the next one?
Okay.
Warcraft is an MMO, an RTS, turn-based strategy game, or a fantasy game? It says Warcraft, not World of Warcraft.
Isn't it?
I think it's
an What say?
World of Warcraft is an MMO. The question is just Warcraft is blank. An MMO, an RTS, a turn-based strategy game, or a fantasy game? I think it's a real-time strategy. What do you think?
I don't know. I was going to say MMO.
It's an RTS.
Oh, well, son of a biscuit.
Yep, I was right on that one. No big deal.
No big deal.
Oh, I'm going to get this wrong, too. In what year was the Nintendo 64 released?
Oh,
is it 97?
Nope.
Is it 98? Because I think, didn't Ocarina of Time come out in 98? So then it had to be before that. So 96? I'm going to go with 96.
I was going to say, because I was thinking of Ocarina 2. I was thinking of that game as well. And I'm going to agree.
Yes, we're right. We are so smart. SMRT. In The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, what is the name of the fairy companion that accompanies Link voicing the iconic phrase, "Hey, listen!" Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
Navi, right?
Yes, thank you. I was going to say it was on the tip of my tongue, and I was like,
Oh my gosh, yeah. I felt like super stupid. I'm glad you had the same experience, because I literally was like, duh, and then I couldn't think of the name. I was like, I know it's four letters.
For like navigation.
Yes, exactly. Last one. Despite the concerns of Nintendo management, The Legend of Zelda met with success when it was released in 1986. In order to defeat the final boss, Ganon, Link had to strike him with what? A silver arrow, his magic sword, his ocarina, a magic spell.
Wasn't it an arrow?
I think so. I never beat it. I would guess A.
I haven't beaten it either, but yeah. I'm assuming that, yeah.
We are right, luckily. I bought that Game & Watch thing, the Nintendo one. Did you remember those when they re-released them for Mario and Legend of Zelda?
No.
And Legend of Zelda has, like, it's the original game. And I played it for, like, literally, like, 2 minutes. And I was like, if that. And I was like, this shit sucks. 8-bit gaming. I'm telling you, Angie, I'm so glad we got past that. Because people who, like, love Mario, like, I don't understand people who are like, the first Mario Super Mario Brothers game is the best. I'm like, you hell are nuts, man. Like,
I mean, maybe not visually, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, maybe if you take visuals out of it, what would you think of the game?
I mean, it's challenging. I don't know. It's fine.
Is it too challenging? Challenging for you?
No, I just don't think it's that interesting. It's fine.
I suppose.
But yeah, it's. I mean, it is partially like the graphics, but and like the 2D or the Legends of Zelda stuff. Like, maybe I should try it again. I don't know. I don't really have an affinity for those like super old games, even though that's kind of what I cut my teeth onto. But I just don't really have any of like nostalgia for any games prior to SNES, which is not entirely true because I was just talking about Super Mario Brothers 3 and how I like that game and 2. So there are exceptions. It's just 8-bit gaming in general.
When you get bit by the bug again, just try it and see what happens.
Yeah. Or like, you know, newer games that kind of come out with like an 8-bit style, I'm just like, no, thank you. But if they have an SNES like 16-bit style, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a little weird, but it's fine.
All right. Well, let's get on out of here, Angie. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you making the time.
Oh, it was fun. It was good stuff.
Always a good time. Where can the folks find you?
At Stellar Smalls when I'm actually posting about stuff.
On the things. You can find at Johnny Samsonite. You can find Chris, probably not, but maybe at VG Occasion. And James is at Butlord Primus on everything except for his Twitch, I think, is...
Is it BLP Entertainment?
I think so, yeah. I think
he switched it to that.
Changed it to BLP Entertainment. Yeah, I think you're right. But his Twitter is at Butler Primus. And he uses Threads a lot, too, which now I guess we probably had to find a Threads account. I'm not... too much.
Last I read, which wasn't that long ago, that you have to have an Instagram account.
Yeah.
I'm Threads account.
Definitely not creating an Instagram and a Threads account for the podcast. I have enough to keep up with as is. So for the time being and probably for the extended future, you can catch us at M and Gamers Podcast on X or Twitter. I'm at Twitter. And then it's you can email us podcast at mostlynormalgamers.com. You can check out our website, which is mostlynormalgamers.com, and sign up or look at our newsletter there, or go to mngamers.substack.com. 507-291-2991 if you want to text or voicemail us. And then YouTube, you can check us out. If you search Mostly Normal Gamers, there's some VODs on there as well. And thank you, listener, for joining us.
Wait, what's that number again?
507-291-2991.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone. Play some games. Bye.
Bye.